two. U.S.ers 8, 9, 5, 7, 9, 1.
If this is correct, press 1. To re-enter your access code,
there are 14 participants from the conference. Please announce yourself.
Ready, recording? You ready?
Yeah. So,
okay. Yeah, I've got this one. Good morning, everybody. It's May 1st, 2020, 10 a.m. This is the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors, originating from the administration building via conference call. This is Linda Merck, and I hereby call the meeting to order, and would ask if anybody is on the call when you're not speaking, if you're being called, if you are a presenter or if you're just listening in, would you please mute your phone unless you're talking? Thank you very much. And I will now entertain a motion for the adoption of today's agenda.
I so move. Second.
Okay. Olson?
Aye.
Seddon?
Aye.
Merkin? Aye. Agenda is adopted. Next, I'll explain why the meeting in person is impossible or impractical per code section 21.8.1. Excuse me. Could you text Barb?
Yes, I will.
Excuse me. We've got some clicking on the phone. Is anybody doing anything that might be causing some rapid clicking? Okay, we'll keep going and I'll talk loud. Okay. Why the meeting in person is impossible and impractical is simply because of the COVID-19 pandemic and following the guidance of having no more than 10 people in a meeting or gathering at any time. The meeting was noticed more than 24 hours ahead of time. Some of the documentation did not get there within 24 hours, but has now been posted on the agenda. Next, we would update on COVID-19 first by staff. Do any staff have updates?
We had it on Wednesday also. We don't have that.
Okay, hearing no updates from staff, are there updates from the supervisors?
Okay, yeah, she is. She was
I don't have any updates at this particular time.
Okay. So we're on updates by supervisors. COVID-19, Supervisor Heddens has no updates. Supervisor Olson, do you have any updates?
I have no updates.
The only thing I will state is that we did say last Friday when we adopted our new action in terms of not having open to the public date and we turned it for all employees to be working in the workplace. We said that we would. Can somebody who's on the call tell me, were you hearing that knocking noise as well?
Hi, Linda. Yes, this is Noelle, and yes, I am.
Okay, it's coming and going.
Jerry Potter, yes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. It is coming and going. I'm going to try to, what I've noticed is if I put the volume down a little bit, it goes away, but it does make it possibly harder for people to hear.
Okay.
So I'll keep toggling with the volume and see what I can get done, but we have IT coming to help.
Yeah, I talked to somebody.
Thank you.
And we're not so sure that's not the issue, but okay.
We don't know what the issue is. So anyway, what I would just mention is that we said that we would be looking weekly and to see if there was what the numbers were telling us, and the thing we were really kind of hanging our hats on was when there's a 14-day decline, regular decline in the number of new cases, and obviously we're not there yet, so I'm looking at the other supervisors here. I don't think we're looking at changing anything right now. We're just watching and continuing as we are. At 10:30, we're going to have Les White, Story County Public Health Director, join us, and she said she would give us the latest update from IDPH So we'll skip on to item 7, which is discussion and consideration of items brought before the board with requests for immediate action. And we have Carla Webb and Sandra King to discuss asset funding allocations. Sandra and Carla, are you both on the phone right now?
Yes.
Sandra.
Carla.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, you submitted some materials for us to review, and I have had a chance, have all the board members had a chance to review the materials?
Not anything that was sent this morning.
There was one thing that was sent this morning, and I happen to have an extra copy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So what we have, let me just go through the materials to make sure we have them all. We have a memo from Sandra and Carla dated April 30th, subject discussion and consideration of asset funding allocations. We also have a memo dated April 30th, which says on the asset shared under priorities. We also give back copies of the links to the priorities as the sample are on the screen. We got the Missouri County asset balance as of April 27th, 2020. I'm going to propose that we do something different here, and I don't know if it's going to work. We have another possible bridge, and it's only
the left
side. Pardon?
Yeah.
We can't do it.
You're right. Okay, let's it sounds a little better right now. Why don't we try to present, and then if necessary, we could get less, but that doesn't get information out to the public. We could send a test to less if this line just totally goes. But Sandra and Carla, we have some silence here. Why don't you start your presentation, if you would?
Okay, Sandra. I'll start with the first document, discussion and consideration of asset funding allocations. We brought some information to you in April just to give you a heads up that asset-funded agencies were experiencing some challenges due to COVID-19, like much of the rest of the country. As a result, many of those agencies have modified or stopped contracted service delivery brought on by the public health emergency. And what we were trying to find out, the asset administrative team surveyed the agencies to try to find out the status of the relevant services and to find out their budget needs. We did find that there was one agency that was going to want to request additional funds, which that is something that we also shared last month. That agency is Emergency Residence Project, or ERP, and they have requested additional funds for $10,043. We did find that most of the agencies just desire the flexibility to maintain access to FY20 funds in light of the public health emergency and to still be able to draw down those funds. Agencies have been encouraged to seek external funding when possible. There is a Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or CARES Act, that has some funding available. And many of the agencies have sought funding through the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP. And that provides forgivable loans that can be used for payroll, mortgage interest, rent, utilities. We've laid out some options for the board to consider today, and they're outlined on the memo, and I'll just briefly go through those. For those agencies that have no change in service delivery, we're requesting that they are able to continue to build their FY20 funds as usual. For those agencies that have modified services that largely meet the service definitions outlined in the Asset Reference Manual, allow them to draw down funds allocated for services that can be provided through June 30th, 2020. For those agencies that have modified services that largely do not meet the service definitions outlined in the AFEC reference manual, or they have stopped services altogether, like child care centers, MICA dental clinics, and some of the services that are normally provided in schools, and they're not able to do that because schools are no longer in session. We request that those agencies be allowed to request a reallocation of a service area with a demonstrated need for additional funds for services that can be provided through June 30th, 2020. For those agencies that have modified services that largely do not meet the service definitions outlined in the asset reference manual, or they've stopped services, allow those services to draw down the remaining funds in a manner that is evenly distributed for the months not yet billed. For example, if an agency has not yet billed for April and has a remaining balance, we ask that they be able to bill separately for April, May, and June, requesting a third of the balance each time. Another option is to allow agencies to roll over any remaining funds for use with FY21 allocations, and we would request this for any of the agencies that have a remaining balance at the end of the fiscal year. Or another option, of course, is that the board take no action, thereby requiring agencies to draw down funds only for those services that have actually delivered services based on the contract. So with those options in mind, the board action that we're requesting today is that the Board of Supervisors, in response to COVID-19 pandemic, note that this is for a public purpose. Not only advice of the County Attorney's Office, Ethan Anderson, the public purpose should be stated in the record. For options 1 through 6 that I outlined, we ask that the Board of Supervisors approve whichever options they choose and direct staff to work with agencies to draw down funds in the authorized manner. We also request the board to direct staff to work with agencies to amend contracts as appropriate to transfer already allocated funds from one service area to another as requested by the agency. And we request that the board approve ERP's budget request for $10,043. And that's it for this budget item, this agenda item.
Carla, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Board members, I have questions, but I'll let you go first.
This is Lisa. So, Sandra or Carla, so looking at the, I think it was number 3, which allows for the reallocation, request for reallocation in a service area. So is that opening it up to any particular service area that doesn't meet the kind of the criteria or the priorities outlined in asset? Or can you clarify that a little bit further, please?
Well, we're just looking for agencies that have modified their services or stopped those services due to no fault of their own, that they still be able to draw down the dollar amount and just have those reallocated to a service area that maybe the need has increased or something like that. And those services can be provided by the end of the fiscal year.
So
that they would just be reallocating dollars that are not going to be used to an area where it will be used.
So to me, I guess reallocation I think of is going from one service line to a different one versus just being allowed to utilize the already appropriated dollars. That's my confusion on the word reallocation. My other question is, do you know how many, I know you referenced the CARES Act and some that have applied for the PPP funding, do you know which ones are actually receiving any additional funds and to what extent? And I'm going to add a caveat on that is with the CARES Act, I'm not sure if all the guidance has been out there yet either for that distribution of those funds. I don't recall right off the top of my head. That's why I'm asking.
Okay, I did catch part of that question, Lisa, but missed, I think, the last part of it. We do have some information on agencies that were approved for PPP, although we're getting updates periodically because some applied in the beginning, and then, as you know, the funds were depleted, I think, in about 2 weeks, and many agencies were not able to receive it, but some did get, some that didn't get it in the beginning have gotten it later on. Do you have a specific agency that you're asking about?
I wasn't. I was just wondering. I just wasn't sure if there was like a, you know, like another column that showed which ones were receiving, were going to be recipients of the PPP funds, if you happen to know the funding amount or whatever, or any other funds that they might have been able to tap into. That was just my particular question.
Supervisor Olson and the Ames, the stat report given by the Ames staff to the City Council was very good, very detailed. And it says in here, to answer some number question number six, has your agency applied for federal funding through the CARES Act? It says that 16 agencies. Now, I'd like to point out is their list, they fund a couple of agencies that we don't fund, okay? So this is Ames. I wish we'd had something similar here. 16 agencies applied for federal funding, such as Payroll Protection Fund, Economic Disaster Injury Fund, SBA, et cetera. As of Tuesday, or probably it was last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, because they, too, usually expect staff to turn in reports in advance, you know, so that everybody has a chance to read them. It says that four agencies may receive additional funding through existing sources, and that looked like Emergency Solutions Grant, of course, Transit, which we've discussed, that would be a heard of, but Skyride also is getting money, and Community Services Block Grant. So just to let you know that they are out there, I don't know how many of these 16 agencies might be on our list also.
That's correct. We do not fund all of the ones that the City of Ames funds. I will be able to get the board an update on that. But a number of them did apply. Of those that applied, I know that YFS did get funding. HRDA, as Supervisor Olson mentioned, got funding. ERP received some. And there were a few others.
I'd like to follow up on Supervisor Hedden's question about the modification. And we kind of dealt with part of this earlier this year when it came to, you mentioned one of the agencies, YSF, that not all of the services that YSF offers would we be allowed to fund given the restriction, the state law restriction on mental health, what we can and can't fund. So, I think it's important for us to really look at if we're just modifying to allow it to shift elsewhere, that it be the line item that Supervisor Hagman's mentioned, because we may not be able to fund that line item, you know, to just say, hey, you just have a pot of money now.
And kind of based off of that from Supervisor Austin, I know that the top six are options, so we can look at which ones we would prefer. I just know it's for point of discussion. That's why I brought up number three, just for clarification purposes.
Sandra, did you have something to a response to that?
Yes, I was only going to say that we would only be transferring funds from one line item to another of the services we fund. So mental health is not one that the county can fund. So we would not be trying to reallocate funding to an area we're not able to fund.
Okay.
So here's my understanding then of the difference between three and four. This is Linda. Three, it would have to be a line item or a service area that asset currently funds. Maybe that agency didn't provide it before, but it is an allowable asset service area, correct? That's what you would say for number three?
Yes.
And then number four is the one that kind of confuses me. Is number four just, you can just have the money and use it for whatever you need to use it for?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay, then please help me with this one.
I can beg you for.
Well, I guess it could be seen that way, that it could be used for something different. And the agency would have to make the request. So I guess we were just trying to add in some additional flexibility because things have been popping up that we may not be aware of with this COVID-19. So the agency would have to make that request. But in number three, those are things that we may be able to see more clearly right now, that a service that was normally offered in the school, but because the schools are closed, you know, they can no longer offer those services, and now they want to transfer it to an area where maybe they were able to start working on the service but ended up not offering it. They still want to be able to use those dollars to draw down for the staff time, for example, that they put into creating the event.
But it has to be a service area that has that normally fund.
Carla, did you have something on that?
Yeah, just maybe to help clarify on number three, we do have some agencies that have exhausted all of their county funding, and they have a service area maybe where they have not, but they've had to stop that service due to COVID-19, but maybe they're experiencing an increased cost, or they could potentially use those dollars to fund that service that where they've exhausted the county funds in. So just wanting to look at that option of them being able to transfer those dollars over to that other service. My thought would be it would only be able to occur within the existing services that the county funds. So if we don't fund a service, we're not going to then, this wouldn't open it up to now fund that service. It's just reallocating those dollars to an existing service that's currently funded by the county but has maybe been exhausted.
So maybe additional funds to that agency above their current asset contract, correct?
No.
Potentially for that service, but not overall.
We just did this, right, Carla? When we took some transitional funds for ERP, didn't we do this a couple weeks ago? And we said, yes, they've got money left in transitional funds, so let's go ahead and give it to the housing instead, to the service, so that they could pay for motel rooms, correct?
Correct. Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, that makes better sense,
Doc. Yeah, that was under number two.
So.
Okay. Modified services, but okay. But going back to four,
yeah,
is four saying you can use it for anything that you want to? It does not have to be an asset service area.
No, it would have to be an asset service area.
So some agencies, they've stopped services, but maybe they're still incurring administrative costs. So they may need dollars to help cover those administrative costs. But yet that service isn't actually being provided.
Yeah, so that's how I was kind of, after I re-looked at it, Carla, I was looking at it. There are several agencies that bill monthly to draw down their funds, and if they were not able to provide a particular service their normal way, either not at all or if they modified, you know, instead of doing an in-person presentation, maybe it's an online or something, that or just April is, or I'll just say March was out of the picture totally for being able to do anything because of COVID-19, to change the way that they're able to draw down for the last 3 months and have that evenly distributed, that each of those 3 months they could pull down, so they can pull down all of their dollars yet which would be a little different than how their original contract might have said.
So my question to follow up for Supervisor Hedden's question is then, would those be just the admin dollars associated with the service that we would have funded, you know, or are those all their admin dollars?
Exactly. They don't play the service anymore, so they don't need the service dollars.
But we've learned, just as we sat here over the last year, we've learned in a couple instances agencies weren't building in their admin dollars as a separate cost, and instead they were just kind of spreading it out. So I don't want to short an agency who may just be averaging admin costs because one service is gone, but I also don't want to be paying for the admin cost if they offer 10 different services and we only fund one of them.
So is that the case that we may have to ask some agencies, or you may have to ask some agencies to pull their admin costs out separately from their service costs for if they're not providing the service anymore? Is that possible?
I think we could look into that. I think this one is maybe a little bit trickier when I think of it. Mm-hmm. It's probably more of a matter of just trying to keep that agency potentially whole with the dollars that had been allocated. But I think a decision has to be made. Is it okay that they receive the funding even though maybe the service hasn't actually been provided? When I think of this, that's the question that I have is, are we looking to continue to allow the agencies to draw down those dollars even though maybe a service hasn't been received?
And I wasn't able to listen in on Tuesday. What did the city of, I assume that the city of Ames received the same recommendations that we did?
They're going to talk about this part on May 12th. They only did the ERP, the special request.
They didn't even talk about them on any of these other points?
No.
My understanding is that they did talk about it. I'll have to find out.
I listened to it. Did they discuss some of these? They didn't run these points. For the options, they were only given, I believe, 3 on the action form, you know, the report and action. But they didn't get into the in-depth discussion we're having now. So I think that would be probably the fair part of this, because they've also got funding requests, a similar situation going with arts and community requests that we don't get. So they said we want to discuss them all in depth on May 12th. That's what it was.
Okay. So my understanding of what the city council approved this week was approved reimbursing for services actually provided through June 30th, 20. If there are remaining funds, agencies can request reallocating those funds from one service to another service area. For services that would be provided by 6:30 of 20. If funds still remain as of 6:30 of 20, agencies can carry those forward if they can't draw them down due to COVID-19.
I'm sorry, I don't remember that part of the discussion with that motion being passed, but that's okay.
Okay.
Good. You must be reading from the minutes, maybe, which is great. So, okay. So I'm going to follow up still on this question about, or the statement you made about trying to keep the agency whole, even though they're not pulling down, even though the service isn't being provided itself. And the one that pops to mind for me as an easy example of this is because we received a email correspondence in the last day or so from Volunteer Center of Story County. Most events are being canceled. And so we received an email from Ann Owens pointing out that she's not going to be providing many, volunteers right now and probably through the summer. But then once people get ramped up, she foresees that there will be many requests for volunteer help. So would this be an example, Carla, of how this might go? That that you know she's not going to be drawing down probably any more money. And it's pretty much all admin money, if you will, I guess. I mean, it's to pay for the cost involved with events. But would this be fall under that then? That she just go ahead and pull down her monthly to go ahead and keep the doors open?
Correct. Yeah, I think that they would be an agency that would fall within what we're discussing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So that would be action we wanted to look at, and if we want to make any recommendation today or wait. I look at number five as well of allowing agencies to roll over those funds into fiscal year 21.
Mm-hmm.
Would just be another potential or kind of a combination of some suggestions that are provided here.
My problem with the rolling over is that the agencies already have their budgets for FY 21.
True.
And that it went through the process, the asset process. If they're already there with a full budget for FY 21.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I think my only question would be if they weren't able to draw down all their funds because they had a month or more of cutting back on those services or reduction in the services, do you penalize them while they're trying to retain staff or bring back staff if they've had to let someone go, or whatever, to be able to carry that on through? Just throwing that out for discussion. That's just... I think as much as we could have them pull down their funds and continue, it would be, at least that's my personal preference. But I also know there may be some instances where there may be a good reason, or maybe if that was the direction we'd want to go, we'd have to say, okay, we would want them, maybe Sandra or Carla, to come before us in early June or something to say why agencies should be allowed to carry it. It may go into the first week into July, first or second week into July. Just throwing that out there.
I have another suggestion for consideration for FY 21. The food pantries, for example, I would think have demand for their services increased more than they probably could have ever contemplated. And, the full understanding of that probably won't be felt until after FY 21 begins.
Mm-hmm. So can we pull down any monies that remaining monies that aren't going to be drawn down? Can we just pull those to distribute later for unknown FY 21 needs? Can we keep that money in abeyance for things that we know will come up? So then we're dealing with a known need there.
So this is Supervisor Olson, and I think Supervisor Hedden's comment here about drawing down for fiscal year 20, that, and maybe that's where I got confused when I listened to the city council meeting, on Tuesday night, and maybe they did. The motions were separate, it sounds like, about what they may do going forward. So we could also say, okay, if we're going to go ahead and we are, in essence, going to allow you to draw down what you've allocated, even if you have not provided that service, but you have to do it down under that one-third, okay, to keep you operating. But as of fiscal year 21, it'll have to be a special request coming forward. You've had your allocations already for fiscal year 21, and then addressing Sandra's concern about, like, the food banks, they're going to need more money right away. They will. I'd be very surprised if the food banks don't draw down by June 30th, so, in the next 2 months.
drawdown here. In fact, I'm looking who still has. There's Micah. Remaining balance is $10,000. Salvation Army, $2,500. I'd be very surprised if they hadn't drawn down, especially since Micah does more services that we don't pay for. Salvation Army is, I think, just the paid program and the food bank. But so I'm not in big favor of allowing anybody to just roll over the money. I'd rather they come back and ask for a request, a special request, after we start fiscal year 21, even if it's the first week in July. And for some reason, that reminds me that we did this either last July right away. Oh, we did. It was a little different, but it was for the Miracle League.
Oh.
Yeah, remember?
Yep.
Just rolled over.
I do remember, because that was like my second meeting.
Yeah, okay. I knew that there was somebody, but it wasn't an asset agency, but it was somebody who wanted some money, and we ended up then having to come for a special request. So of these choices for me, this is still Supervisor Olson talking, okay, items 1, 2, and 3 seem just like businesses as usual, because in the past, even prior to this board, for item 3, there have been agencies that have come forward and asked for funding to be shifted between one line item to another line item that we've already approved, given on demand. That just seems like business as usual. Okay? So, and I'm not fond of item 5, the rollover. Or is it 6? Thank you. I've been typing on my form, so it's auto-formatting for me. And so it's just still number 4. And I definitely would like to at least compensate them for the admin expenses. And for some agencies, that will be more of their allotment. Others, where there's a different service associated, like YSF billing per hour on something else, and I'm sorry, I'm not picking on them. I just want to use them because everybody knows how their services are structured. Okay.
So you're not liking the number 3, which would be similar to what ERP did last time of requesting a reallocation to a different service line. If they had money in one line, to utilize it in a different asset funded service line.
I do like that in 3. It's what we've done many times before.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that you...
No, I do like it. That's number 4 where I'm going back and forth on your thought about just let them draw it all down for the last quarter, divided by 3, and Supervisor Merkin's thought about, well, should we really be paying for the service?
Right.
Wait a second.
Okay.
What ERP has done, I think, falls more under item 2. And I'm not trying to split hairs, but I think there's a big difference between 2 and 3. ERP is still providing shelter to homeless. They've modified, that probably largely meets the service definition. They've modified it, and they're renting motel rooms rather than using their shelter. So that's a modified service that largely meets the service definition.
It does. But
when
then
we get to 3, we're talking about modifying services that do not meet the service definition. If they have modified or staff services, to reallocate to a different service area. That is different to me.
But the ERP really did. They came before us, and what they said, we'd given them so much money for transitional housing and so much money for the regular shelter. So what they did is they asked us to say, hey, we don't need the transitional housing money, so we want to move it to a different that line item for housing. And then they modified that service. It's not in the house anymore. It's now in a motel room. But they really are still providing the same thing, nights and beds. That's the actual service.
Okay, but what I'm saying, I think number 3 can really change focus.
I can look at it both ways of what you're saying, Linda, is that, two seems to look like, okay, you still could request that modification. I think we could change the semantics on some of these, too, because I think what you're trying to get is both those from ERP, as the example, were approved and met the definition, where under number 3, they're saying, okay, one that doesn't meet the definition, so that...
So, you know, I thought that number four was do not meet the service definition.
So does number three. It says for those agencies that have modified services that largely do not meet the service definitions outlined in the asset reference manual. And number four has the same first line that do not meet.
Okay. I think that's where Liz is going. Okay. Yeah, because okay, I got it.
So I think what we're looking at maybe is number two. I'm just kind of throwing that out there, but saying allow them to draw funds for those allocated or to reallocate to another program that might be out of funds, but within that are already approved for assets.
That agency didn't necessarily do before.
Okay. Well, it might have been that they did before, or they might have been that line item, they're out of funds. And so they want to reallocate funds from their other line item into the one that has become the greater need now.
Yeah. Okay. I got it.
I'm tracking with you now.
You were trying to say something a minute ago.
I was just going to say it was number four. We were trying to add some flexibility for the agencies, and looked like we may have just added confusion on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Because then number three, given what you're saying in parentheses, like the child care centers and the MICA dental clinic services at school that are not provided, okay, but those in number three, you would actually be looking at it for what? Any service area, not necessarily one that we fund, but maybe another asset provider might fund that service area? Is that what you're saying instead?
Well, it's a service area that's funded through an asset. It doesn't say necessarily.
Right, just that. Right. So then number four, is back to just admin or just have some, here's the money to keep you going. Without tied to a service area.
And there's a question in number four. And maybe that's a greater good question then. Are there agencies, and I don't know them well enough to know this, but are there agencies that if we say yes, you can continue your admin costs, but we're not paying for services that aren't being provided, are there agencies that will be laying off staff that they will need July 1? Or whenever they'll need them. We can't even say July 1 because we don't know when they're going to be able to provide those services again. That's kind of the problem with the unknowns.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility because some agencies have already laid staff off.
Yeah.
So that's certainly a possibility.
So Carla or Sandra, this is Lisa. So in number two, again, just seeking clarification. So is that essentially saying that we would just allow you to do what you're currently doing, to just draw down those funds that were prior to the pandemic? They've modified how they're delivering those services, but is allowing them to just draw them down for that particular service. Is that how I'm reading that?
If they have modified services, and the thing with modification is that it may have been interpreted in different ways. For example, if an agency was used to meeting their clients face-to-face and now have to connect with them online, they listed that as modified service.
Sure.
But, you know, it still meets the definition. It's just that when the regulations were written, they weren't really contemplating that you would not be able to meet people face-to-face, for example. So sometimes when they said it's modified, it really wasn't modified that much.
Sure. No, and that makes sense, yeah. So I just like to, I'm going to go back to the AIMS staff report because it addresses this. Has number two question that the admin team asked. According to them, is has your agency continued, modified, or stopped services? 38 of the agencies that responded, now this is, I think, you know, broken out with the AIMS funded ones, 38 services have been modified. So
I think that follows up exactly what Sandra's saying, right? 38 of them did something.
Some sort of modification, right.
It's just like, what does that mean?
Of services.
Yeah, of services, right. Yeah.
And most of them were modified to some degree. I would say the overwhelming majority were modified to some degree, but again, that modification could have just been, you know, that we're dealing with people electronically now,
yeah,
or making appointments or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess for talking, I mean, do you look at number two to let them continue or address the modification?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just say, okay, that's it, or do you also say, okay, but there may be some agencies who need to reallocate some of funds to already approved asset funded priorities that the county had, because that either they've run out of money in that line item, or because of the pandemic, that's become the priority of need right now. So it's almost kind of meshing.
Sure.
Or adding something on to that, as another possibility for discussion.
And I do have one other question about number three. Would the asset admin team just procedurally be approving those requests? I think that's the way to get it done quickly, more quickly than going back to all the funders. Is that the idea that was in mind, or was the idea that it would come back to the funders?
This is Carla, and I'd like to clarify on number three. I think what our intent there would be only reallocate within the current contracted service for that agency. So it wouldn't be adding a new service,
right,
to this contract. It's working within what is currently contracted and moving dollars around.
Right. And that's how, Carla, this is Lisa. That's how I took it. So an agency might have two lines or three lines that they were approved for funding in within that contract, but one might have a greater need, and so would be shifting some of those dollars within the contract, but to an already approved service.
If that agency has already provided that service through ASCA.
Yes. That's what I was looking at. I wasn't looking at any dollars going to a service line that was not approved at all.
So we need to make sure that's in item number two. And item number three does say that largely do not meet the service definitions outlined in the asset rec manual or have stopped. And those are two different things.
Exactly.
I think that's where I got hung up. I'll tell you, that's where I got hung up, because I didn't pay enough attention to the not part. So Lisa, what you're proposing is we go up to item number two, and we add in with what Carla just said, for those services only currently within the contracted services.
Yeah, that they could request. They could also request. They could either draw down the funds allocated for the services to be provided, or request a reallocation of those funds to that different service line or whatever within the contract.
Within the contract. Yeah, I think, yeah.
Does that make sense, Carla?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Super. Okay.
And you're saying that is going into number two?
Yes. I was saying let's look at number two.
Mm-hmm.
This is for agencies that have largely modified their services. Meet the service definitions outlined in the asset reference manual and everything that was developed prior to the pandemic, and allow them to draw down those funds allocated for those services, so what's in their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
But then add in addition to saying that they could also request a reallocation of funds if needed to funding areas within their service contract.
Got it.
Yeah. Within their service contract, I think I said. Modification, yeah, I just took what basically it says for option two and just added that they could also request a reallocation of funds, or to reallocate those funds, if need be, within to a different line item within their current contract.
Okay.
Can you write that out for the motion? I think, because I've written it three different times here.
Okay.
And I think if you have the written, have it in writing how you would make the motion, if you're making the motion, that could be helpful.
And now, Linda, that makes perfect sense what you were saying before about ERP really did fit within
right.
number two. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
So then we go back to number three.
Let's wait till
okay.
you sorry. Got it written down, because we are making some changes here that we want to make sure to capture for the record.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're working on it, Jill. So what I'm getting so far is we're probably okay with approving number one, but that's really no change. I don't even know if we have to approve it, but we can add it in since it was presented.
I think of one through six are just options available. I don't think you have to go through and approve one, two, three, four, five,
no,
and six. I think it's just discussion for
well, and then I perceive a motion after we go through these if any of including the ones we really want to consider. Right now we're trying to figure out what they really mean.
So see if that makes sense. So it's basically stating all of number two and adding.
And so in number two, Lisa suggested, and allow agencies to request a reallocation of funds to service areas within the current contract. Meaning that agency's
that agency's yes, and you can add it within that agency's current contract.
That agency's current contract.
And don't forget
what
we're
doing. Oh, and
we're not even there yet. When we make the motion, we'll get there.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we have the language for the one change we've agreed on. Is that okay, Carla? Sandra, does that make sense to you?
Yes.
It sounds like you're combining one, two, and three.
Kind of.
Well, we're probably clarifying what we think three means by combining with two. We're three.
But if you,
yeah.
if you want to hear, I'll read it.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm just looking at. This is Lisa of saying, starting with two, for those agencies that have modified services that largely meet the service definitions outlined in the asset reference manual developed prior to the pandemic, allow them to draw down funds allocated for services that can be provided through June 30th, 2020, and allow those agencies to request a reallocation of funds to service areas within that agency's current contract.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So it gives them a little latitude.
Mm-hmm. And then, is there anything else out of three, or have we... Okay, so we're kind of striking three as written?
Yes.
And then number four was the one about the admin cost. How are we feeling about that? We've had some discussion there. Recognition that some agencies have already had to lay off staff. I think we have to have a further recognition that we don't know when they're going to be able to provide services, again, that those staff were providing. So we can't say, well, July, let everything, you know, the new fiscal year doesn't change the current situation, perhaps. So the thinking that if we allow those agencies that have stopped, basically, we allow those agencies to continue to bill for their administrative costs, but not for services they are not providing.
But if you look at number four, this is like number three, it also says for modified services that largely do not
mm-hmm.
meet the service definitions.
Yeah.
So is that even one we want to look at all?
Only if you're looking at admin staff,
only.
You know, admin support staff the agency needs, and if they can't draw down any of that money, they're eating into their infrastructure, basically.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they have to lay off their account. They have nobody to pay the bills.
So.
They have to lay off, you know, whatever.
So
we want to keep a... We want to help the agencies keep their structure together, keep their doors open, and remain viable, is what I would see if we're talking about admin.
Okay, so then I perceive, or as I try to envision this out, they would have to break those costs out.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
very
we
clearly.
Would like to ask them to break out those admin costs. To say what percentage of your director, what percentage of your account clerk, whatever, so, you know, are you losing that?
So it's the general administration in addition to any specific assigned to that service. Not to provide the services, not the service provider, like, but it's the actual general admin or specific admin that does all the accounting, et cetera, on that program.
Sandra, Carla, did you have any thoughts about that?
I don't.
So is that only...
Yeah.
Sorry, Carla, go ahead.
No, I didn't have any additional comments either on this one.
I guess for me, just seeking clarification, how it is written to say manner evenly distributed for the months not yet billed, would that mean then for those remaining months they could only bill for administration? Does that then take out that they can't bill if they start providing the service?
This may be one that we need to bring back, need additional follow-up, because this is... we were trying to add some new flexibility here. It's very different from how we normally bill, because we normally bill fee for service.
Right.
So we were really just trying to give them an opportunity to draw down their remaining funds, because we know they had already kind of included that in, you know, how they're going to pay for their operations over the year. So we were just trying to add additional flexibility here, but perhaps we need more follow-up in order to be able to use this one effectively.
So it sounds like this one might be how it's written, if it's looking at admin, would be only if they aren't providing the service to allow them for the last, you know, if they provide no additional services through the end of the fiscal year, this would be a way for them to at least pull down admin dollars.
Correct.
I just want to make sure that you aren't kind of hampering them. Is if they do start providing a service, are they then bound by only being able to pull down and, you know, doing something we inadvertently didn't mean to state?
So is that direction for a possible rewrite, and also maybe give our thoughts to the city's representative about this, since the city hasn't done anything on this yet?
I thought Carla said they
did
have it.
They did it in a year, and that's what I meant.
So they did do them before?
No, Carla stated what the city had done.
Would you repeat it again, Carla? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll do that just a moment here and call it up.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sorry that I misheard. I apparently didn't discuss what they're going to do for May 12th on the others in the fiscal year. So, yeah, a rewrite would be good.
So this is Carla. So what's been communicated to us that the city approved was city council approved reimbursing for services actually provided through 6/30/20. If there are remaining funds, agencies can request reallocation funds from one service to another and provide those services through 6/30/20. If funds still remain as of 6/30/20, agencies can carry it forward if they can't draw it down due to COVID-19.
No, they did allow
so they
carried forward.
They carried forward.
Okay. They did, and they did not approve allowing agencies to draw down funds if the service had been stopped or did not really meet the service definition.
So they're allowing them to draw down for services provided, draw down, or they could request, it sounded like you said, Carla, to reallocate funds to a different line item within the contract, I'm assuming? And then
yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, and then thirdly, they could carry over into this year 21. They need to request that, though, to carry over to fiscal year 21 if they had additional funds. Was that correct? So two of them were requesting to do a different service line within their contract, or if they want to carry over to fiscal year 21. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
Okay.
I would think that they would need to make that request. And it needs to be, the reason they weren't able to draw down would need to be related to COVID-19,
right.
My understanding.
Like a similar approach by funders would be good.
However, what we're talking about does get more money to the agency. So,
the admin cost part?
Well, and the services that have stopped. I guess a child care center or Mica Dental may still be, or let's say, I guess they're rolling that money over to the next year.
They may, Mica may roll it over to the next year.
Because
dentals are all closed.
Yeah.
So they can't provide a service when all of them are closed.
Right. Mm-hmm. So where we're saying we're considering letting you draw down your admin costs. So to keep you viable until
the admin costs. And we kind of talked about putting that on hold and having this rewritten for us,
mm-hmm.
rather than approving it today. Number four. Is that what we were talking about?
I'm not sure. I guess I'm
three
trying to
figure four. I think.
So are you wanting to just kind of table this and then just no, I'm just throwing this out there.
Are
you wanting to table, rewrite, and vote on it on our Tuesday meeting, or are you saying just one other particular area? Because I'm thinking, okay, reimbursement for services provided, agencies could do that potentially. Put for a different service line within the contract. I'm assuming, although I'm not sure because I haven't seen all the agency. I'd have to relook at the agency's contract to know if they could switch it to a different line item within their contract and still pull down. And within those are built in their administrative costs on there.
Some of them are, yeah.
Right. And then lastly would be, okay, if they can't carry down those funds, they could request or couldn't utilize the funds this year, they could request that they just carry over to the next fiscal year.
So what I advocate for, not tabling, rather directing staff to, we'd like you to rewrite it, we'd like these items rewritten, and then bring it back on Tuesday. And yes, I'm still in the on period.
$10,043, which was part of the total of 52. myself, and I did understand, and I corrected, Ames did approve, and I think it was about 15,000 Ames was asked for.
Yeah, Ames did approve that.
Would we want to make a motion today that would encompass points 1 and 4, which is that this is an action for the public purpose and to approve the ERP budget request for the 10043, and then leave the rest of this until next Tuesday?
Yeah, I would move. Okay, that we approve ERP's budget request for $10,043 immediately. This is in addition to any remaining fund balance they have with Story County. And that we do this because the public purpose is to provide housing, temporary housing for the homeless
during COVID-19.
Okay.
I will second that motion.
Thanks. Is there any further discussion?
Well, not on this motion, but I'd like to look at us having a further discussion at some point, maybe not today, given we have less light still, but to discuss some of the issues related to ERP's needs and homelessness. So.
Okay, but not for this motion now.
Right. No.
Okay. Okay, then we have a motion and
second.
No further discussion. Olson?
Aye.
Kevin?
Aye.
Norton? Aye. Thank you. Les, I'm very sorry. Are you on the phone by any chance?
I sure am.
So may I
just a second.
Because I know there are two people who are waiting for the rest for what I talked about, the discussion on homelessness. I believe we have two members of the audience. So could we put a discussion on other needs of the homeless going forward on the Tuesday agenda? I know Tuesday's agenda is already coming out, but I know there are two people who want to have this discussion, and we didn't expect it to take so long to get this.
And I really want to say I'm having a very difficult time with our audio. I'm sorry you called in when I said, and we got distracted with a longer conversation, and B, that we're having problems. Would you be willing to wait and do your presentation with us later?
Yeah, that is not a problem. Not a problem.
Okay, now as soon as I say that, the line clears up again, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
But what do the other supervisors want to see?
So what was your thought was to delay her presentation? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, unless you want to start again and see how it goes.
I'm very cognizant of how busy she is, and I think that we should at least start less so that you don't have to hang again on the phone on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'd like to give us the old try.
Let's go on and when we talked last, we had talked about what was going on with the Iowa Department of Public Health in terms of contact tracing, what issues were about testing, and some other issues. Can you start with those two things, and maybe we have some other questions for you?
I sure will. I just want to let you know that as of, Wednesday, the Iowa Department of Public Health came out with new information related to contact tracing for us. I think I have explained to you guys in the past how we were handling this, and now they have made it, some different recommendations for us. So what we will be doing beginning on Monday, and we are still, I was hoping I'd have my official guidance so I could read it word for word for you, but I don't have that guidance yet from IDPH. So I will tell you as I heard it. And again, it was a conference call, so sometimes that it gets a little confusing. Today, what we will do, or starting Monday, what we will do is as we get our positive cases in, we will contact them like we always have. but we will have some additional questions for them. We will be asking them who they have been in contact with in the prior 48 hours from the point that they got their symptoms. And if it's asymptomatic people, because we will be seeing some testing, some positive tests, I'm pretty sure, coming through for asymptomatic people because of the increased testing we're seeing the 48 hours prior to their test. And with that, we'll ask them, who did they see in that 48 hours that they were in contact with for 30 minutes or more and within a 6 feet distance. So definitely all the people in their homes with people that we were providing education to, we weren't necessarily providing that information to IDBH, but we were providing education to. So definitely be those people and then whoever else they were in contact with, you know, prior to that for 48 hours. In our minds, we're thinking work is always probably for people that are out there working. Those that will increase the contact. But really, 30 minutes within 6 feet, unless they've been at a party, which they shouldn't be, or something like that, we're hoping that it's not really extensive. I will tell you, you guys already know, you know, I only have two nurses besides myself to cover the county. At this point in time, we really feel like we can handle this. We are will re-evaluate it on Friday and kind of see where we are, see how much more time this is taking, and see how many more, you know, how many more folks we have to reach out to. And if it becomes too much for us, we can call the Iowa Department of Public Health and they can help us with that. So any questions regarding the new contact tracing rule?
Yeah. Is this IDPH's own criteria, this per 48 hours? Because I was somehow thinking I had heard before it was whoever you've been in contact with in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, this is their new criteria, the 48 hours.
It is new criteria, different than they originally started with them.
Let's see, the original, I'm sorry, Linda, that was a few weeks ago. You know, I think we were contacting individuals, maybe that they had been in contact with the prior 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
So this is different, yeah. You know, and then they went to the point where we weren't doing any contact tracing besides those folks in the home because they felt like it was community spread. Now they changed that back again, and it's those folks within 48 hours. And the 30 minutes within 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we're learning as we go along with the new pandemic that those changes so quickly. So from this to this really is disturbing to me.
Yeah, yeah, things definitely do change quickly.
Yes. Do the other supervisors have any questions specific to contact tracing?
So, Les, I see that the new numbers, this is Lisa, have come out, that there were, looks like 740 statewide new positive cases and 8 deaths. Looks like Story County had 4 new cases on that. So does that mean once are you contacting those individuals or have already contacted them now and are starting that contact tracing? Or are you waiting for additional guidance from IDPH before you do that?
We actually are waiting for our guidance before we do that. And you have to remember, too, that website is 24 hours behind. So four cases that we had yesterday, we already have contacted them and worked with them. We did have one additional case that came in last night about 10 o'clock. So they're handling that case today.
Okay.
And part of the reason that we're waiting for Monday in relationship to this contact tracing is because there's particular information that we put into our ICE system, which is our Iowa Disease Surveillance System. And so that information will want to put it into the computer system, I'm assuming into their system, then that's where they're going to pull that information and use that data for, you know, just to take a look at this pandemic a little bit closer. So that's part of why all of those pieces need to be in place before we start all the tracing back.
Sure, and let's see.
Now, if it is an employer, I should say, you know, if it is an employer, we are, you know, particularly if it's a healthcare employer or whatever, we have the person with the positive test contact that employer, and then we follow up with that employer as well.
So, Les, this is Lisa with another question. With businesses or some businesses beginning to open up as of today,
yes.
We're in one of the counties that are opening up. So when you are, which could, depending on how many positive cases we continue to have, and yes, I recognize that the numbers that came out today were based on yesterday. We just don't get
okay.
it until 24 hours later. So you said that you could seek additional assistance from IDPH if you need help with contact tracing. And I'm only asking because I'm assuming there you potentially may have more people because people are going to start being out and about a bit more and stuff. And then as part of your contact tracing when you ask folks, do you find out if they're wearing a mask or if somebody else is wearing a mask or not? I know that is not mandated by the governor, but it is encouraged by the CDC, and I believe the IDPH's website encourages folks to wear a mask as well.
Yeah, that will definitely be part of the interview process when we visit with these individuals, that they, you know, when they were out and about with their contacts, when they were in contact with these folks, were they wearing a mask? But you are absolutely right. It's not mandated. And I find it interesting when I'm out and about, the people that wear masks and people, there's still quite a few people that are not. So.
Yes, I recognize that as well.
Yeah, it is interesting. And you're right. You know, I anticipate our cases to go up as the testing goes up. And I will tell you that there's increased testing for sure going on at Mary Greeley Medical Center. As now they're going to start testing more individuals, I think we're also going to see more folks with positive with that are asymptomatic.
Sure. Sure.
So we will just kind of have to see if we are able to handle that. And I had to sign an agreement with IDPH, but part of that agreement is if at some point that we don't feel like we can handle things within our county, I can reach back out to them and they will take over the surveillance for us. And with it, it's all or nothing. So they would take it all over. We would still get those tests and things reported back to us. And we would still do all of our information that we give to the PSAP or to the dispatch. That would still fall upon us to get that information to them as well. So we would still be a part of it, but it would lessen our load a little bit. We'll see how next goes.
Has IDPH put on more staff, fire contact tracers, or are they relying on other state employees?
It sounds like they have a resource that you can volunteer for, and they talked about, I think they're pulling from those resources to help with some of this. I know you guys have probably heard about strike teams that they're sending out to some of these manufacturers or to the packing houses to do all the testing. They pull from that resource to get the staff to manage those. And I do know that they have kind of dedicated some of their positions or jobs to other individuals within that organization as well.
I asked this on another call, Les, so I'm going to ask it again, and the reason is because IDPH is putting out some additional statistics and hospitalizations by county. I just ran into that on their website.
Yeah.
Am I correct? Did you say that that is by the county of residence of the person, not the county in which they are hospitalized? Correct?
Right. Correct. So if you look down there, we had one person hospitalized. Now, that, we do have, like at Mary Greeley last night on the call, we did not, but this morning we have some additional folks that would be COVID positive, but they are not from our county. So, but yeah, as of our county, we only have one that's hospitalized. And I know you did ask me last night, too, so I did take a look in relationship to the Des Moines Hospital. And just so you have an idea, when we look in our region, in Region 1, I just took a look at Mercy 1 and Unity Point. Mercy 1's got 201 beds available. They have 69 ICU beds available. Unity Point has 281 beds available and 91 ICU beds available. Mercy is, daily I look at an RMCC report that to see where hospitals in our county and long-term care facilities to make sure they're staffing, PPE, those kinds of things are good, or if we need to touch base and work with them at all. Mercy's running a little bit tight on staffing. It looked like that their staffing was decreasing, which is saying they must be having some of their employees are becoming ill for whatever reason. But in a region overall, we have 1,156 beds, 196 ventilators, and 223 ICU beds, and 133 adult beds, ICU beds. So really, we're sitting pretty good in relationship to hospital beds, ICU, and ventilators.
So that's all available. Those are available statistics she just gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does sound pretty good. That's relieving.
Les, this is Supervisor Olson. Coming back to how many people might be in hospital beds or ICU in Story County, you said that we had some people whose county of residences were elsewhere. Is that because we're starting to get some of maybe the overflow from the packing plant situation that's kind of surrounding us?
No, I would not say that at this point. Actually, you know, Mary Greeley pulls a fair number of folks from Marshalltown regardless.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to see some of those individuals rather, and maybe, you know, if it's they're delivering babies, whatever the case may be, we're going to see some of those. So that's not necessarily surprising to us. But no, at this point, it's not overflow from other organizations. It's our, within our service area, the folks that we serve.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask my colleagues, did you guys get the statistics that Les stated? You don't have to tell me them right now. I just want to know that you've got them, because otherwise you didn't. I was going to ask if she just emailed those to us.
Listen, I wrote down some of them, but I didn't get all those numbers. Would you have time to just send those to us in a quick email?
Yeah, you want the numbers? And you, all of you too, anytime you want to get on and take a look, this is all available on the Iowa Department of Public Health website. They changed that now, and it's called COVID-19 something.
Yeah, coronavirus.
You click on that, and they'll take you right into the state. And the region, you may not have information about region that. I'll take a look at that.
That's the one I've not been able to find, is the beds available
by
region.
Okay. And I don't know if that may not be public. I'll take a look, but I'll send you the numbers. I'll be happy to.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Les, is there anything else you think we should be watching, considering in terms of the decisions we're making about county government?
No, I don't think so at this point. I do, you know, if you look at on the IDPH website, they have a nice thing that talks about the public health reopening guidance, which we did send this. We sent out the restaurants that all of those guidances we've tried to send out to, like, the mayors and different folks in the county. So hopefully they have that information by them. I was pretty pleased, actually, last night in listening to the mayors and listening to the folks at Ames. It sounds like we're really going to have kind of a slow opening. And so I think that will be beneficial for us, and we'll see what it brings to our county.
Did you send the Department of Recession and Appeals restaurant guides to Dan Colhane at the chamber?
I'll double check it. It seems like we did.
Because that would be really good if, I know when we talked on the jurisdiction executive call last night, it was like, all the mayors send us to all your restaurants. When you talk about Ames, that's a heck of a lot of restaurants. And I would imagine that Dan's got some easier ways to get that information out to all of them. And if they get it'd be great.
I'll double check. I think he got it, but I'll double check.
Yes, that's great. I appreciate it. And again, I'm so sorry that you had to wait that long. And this is the information that we were wanting. If you have, when you get the official guidance on the using the new context,
I'll send it to you.
I would love to see it. I would love to see that also. We all would. Okay.
Any
final thoughts for Les?
None. Thank you.
You and your staff,
right.
You're doing the great job you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy May Day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy May Day, too. I hope you get lots of May baskets. All COVID-19 proof.
All right. Now, I'm going to go back to is there anybody on the call right now? We don't have any other items, so we're at the public comment. Is there anybody on the call now who wanted to talk to us specifically about the issues with homeless people? You may have given up on
this. This is Jan Flora. Can you hear me?
Jan, we can hear you.
Okay. I when you voted on the $10,043, that was when we had the most interference. Is that reallocation within the asset budget of ERP? Or is that new monies for ERP?
That's new monies for ERP, Jan.
New money. Okay. I assumed it would be, and thanks so much for doing that. I'm with Amos, and I also wanted to ask a question about people who are homeless, both those that are in the hotel and also those who are unsheltered. They are eligible for the $1,200, but since they don't have an address, they can't get it, and there may be other barriers as well. Is there a way of investigating, and could we be helpful in that, as to what would need to be done in order to get them addresses so that they could actually get their money?
I think that's the priority.
I don't know that we can. Have you talked to the Emergency Residence Project staff about that? They're the experts in this area. And maybe they have some sense of how that can be done. I don't know that we do.
This is Supervisor.
We can certainly talk with them, but I think it would include people with whom they don't have any contact.
Yes.
So it would probably require the involvement of additional organizations in that process.
So,
and then another sort of related question is for those people who are unsheltered. I noticed in the Twin Cities that they had provided porta-potties and clean places for people to wash their hands. And I just wanted to put that on the table as a possibility that we could do in Story County.
Mm-hmm. I would envision that most of the homeless folks are in Ames, and Story County in particular has jurisdiction over the unincorporated areas. And I don't want this to sound like a buck pass, but have you talked with the City of Ames about that kind of an issue?
I'm having a little trouble hearing you now.
Okay. What I said is I assume that most of the folks who would need those services would be in the City of Ames, a large city. But Supervisor Olson also wanted to say something about that.
Well, about the conversation in general, Dan, you brought up these issues with me yesterday in our telephone conversation. So I've been thinking a little bit. And the mail situation, I was really thinking about, well, how do you do that? And the only thing I could come up with, I'm just saying, this is the only thing that I keep.
I'm having difficulty hearing you, Loris.
Okay, I'm gonna try this again. All right.
So, yeah, that sounds better.
Okay, super. I thought about this after our phone conversation yesterday, the mail situation, first of all. And the only way, as I sorted through various options, you know, using ERP's address, asking them and paying them a fee for that, or to use county address or whatever, those really don't meet the need of what I think would be needed for that unhomed population. So the only thing I even came up with was if there were rental of post office boxes, if we paid for rental of post office boxes. Now that still is, from the front end, is a logistic nightmare as far as people would have to make application at community services. And community services is closed except by appointment only, okay? But so as I just did my little thinking with one brain, that's what I came up with, is that we paid for like 6 months rent for people who were truly homeless to get their own PO box. As far as the stimulus checks go, okay? The porta potty situation and the hand washing, I agree with Supervisor Burke, and that really, at least we would have to enter into, if we were going to co-fund a couple around town, would we have to enter in with the City of Ames, because that's where they would legitimately be placed. That's probably legitimately where most of the places that they have been using for restroom and hand washing facilities are gone. So I backed Supervisor Murphy's suggestion that you approach the City of Ames on this, and maybe if Ames wants to find out what the quotes would be to rent one or two to go around the city, etc. But I don't see Story County being anything but the possible, and I say this possible, funder of something like that. You know, but that's all I could come up with on that was that it would be needed in Ames, and Ames would be somewhere the front agency on it.
Does the post office still offer general delivery addresses for limited people?
Good thought.
Somebody just nodded. I don't know if the federal government allows it, but
possibly, because that's how they get that. That's how they get voter.
Okay. I was just told that the auditor's office has the people have used general delivery for things from the auditor's office. So if they can do that, it's probably voting materials. I don't know why the federal government couldn't deliver stimulus checks to general delivery address. But that might be something to check into.
And if Ava's volunteers were willing to do the work for the outreach, I don't see the county having county staff available to do outreach to let people know or to take a flood of applications necessarily, but that might be something if Ava's volunteered to help people fill out that paperwork. As you and I discussed yesterday, the homeless population are probably not going to have a bank account, and they may not have filed tax returns, and those are the two things that are needed to get the automatic deposit of the check. So
so maybe Amos can coordinate something among themselves, especially now with the general delivery option.
Is that like a different idea, Jan? I think our line is going on. Is there anybody else who wants to try to talk about the clicking? You know, we'll call you later with some other ideas, Jan. If there's nothing else.
Or just to make sure that you heard what we said.
I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved. Second.
Ken.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Murphy. Aye. We're adjourned.
And
thanks, everybody.
Thank you.